Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Rock Talk Podcast. We are now on episode 6, and today we're joined by Shane Delvin from Bored with Fire. How you doing today, man?
Good, Ian. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Doing pretty good, man. I saw your music after being recommended to it from Maddie from
Okay.
Those Damn Kids. And God, you guys are keeping like the old school punk alternative alive.
Yeah, I would say most of our drive comes from like late 90s, early 2000s kind of that kind of genre, No Use for a Name, No Effect, stuff like that. So been listening to that stuff since, teenager, and in my late 30s we're still listening to it and playing the same type of music. So
Nice. So, how long has the band been together?
we've been this particular band, we've been together for about 2 years. It all started where I played another group out of Southern California called DT United FC, and it's a group of guys, and one of them was my brother, and we've been playing and recording for about a decade now, and I fly down from Idaho, and we record with Scott Exum down there that's done some big albums back in the day. Unwritten Law, he did early Blink stuff, Agent 51, Pivot, all those stuff that I grew up on. And I still have a really good relationship with Scott, and he rents out the studio to us when I fly down. We usually write for a day or so, and then if we have something worth it, he comes in and records. So I was on a plane flight home with my wife, and at that time, my daughter, who's 4 now, was like 1 or 2, and was just kind of bummed because, it's like for a couple of days, you're just consumed with music. And then for me, leaving and coming back up to where I live, a lot of times it's kind of a bummer. It's like, well, I won't play with anybody for another year. And so my wife's like, just said, maybe you need to start a new project up here. And so I did put out a Craigslist ad. I thought it was a good place to find guys or gals that were into the similar music, and had a lot of a lot of people responding, and it just flowed. All of a sudden, met a guy. We went out and had a bite to eat together. We shared the same values, shared the same music taste. He was in a band, Ghost Army, out of Coeur d'Alene, and he had a guitarist, Ryan Broadwater, who so he brought him on board. That particular guy played drums, and it was one of those things where I played with a lot of people over the years. 20 years in music, played with a lot of groups, and some stuff works, and sometimes it doesn't. It feels too forced. It feels like we're not on the same page. And this was honestly easy. Like, that's the only way to describe it. Is Ryan's guitar playing is exactly what I was kind of looking for. His ability is better than mine, but for soloing or type of, he's really into writing licks and stuff, and I thought it was amazing. So that pushed me to try to write better music for that. And yeah, it really was just easy. And that's what I think that it comes across, is our practices are just amazing. We rehearse once a week, and it's just, we create stuff way faster than it seems that it should be. And I think that's just because we all kind of know our part, and we know, and we just write. I don't know, it just flows. So it's really good.
Very nice. And I know you're both vocals and I'd say rhythm guitar.
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Which is more of what you'd call like your baby? Which is the one that you love doing the most? More guitar or more vocals?
Probably guitar, like writing the roots of it and stuff. I've been playing guitar since third grade, and I actually played drums for many years in some pretty somewhat successful groups. I would say, by successful, I mean we got out of the garage and performed and played at Soma Live and stuff. But I drummed for a decade, or if not more. Still play a little bit, but that was my instrument for years. And then, like with the group down in San Diego, it was funny because no one wanted to sing, including me. Like, I didn't want to do it. I'm not good at that. But I was forced to in that group. So then I kind of fell in love with it. And I kind of realized that you just find your own niche. And I don't think I'm a good singer. at all. Like, flat out, do not think it, but I love to do it. So I really don't care what people think. I enjoy it. And I've tried to grow my own part in that craft and get out of my comfort zones. And, you know, when you go into a bigger studio, we record at Amplified Wax in Spokane. And Jimmy from there, in my opinion, is the best of the best in our area. And the first time in there was a struggle, to be honest, going in. You know, I've done recordings of my voice before, but not at that level. And it was really intimidating, to be honest, because when you sing, especially when you sing with no effects on it, there's no reverb, there's no nothing, it's your pure, it's your soul. And so when you do that, it's you're putting yourself out there and you're making yourself vulnerable. And it sounds really weird, but that's how I felt about it. It was almost an insecure. Now I love it. Like, once I got past that, now it's just, what can I do different? It's like a brand new instrument. It's, what can you do with your voice, and what can you do to tell your story? So I do enjoy it. Lyrics are hard to write. You know, they don't come naturally easy to me. But I really enjoy it. And I think that's the coolest part. As long as you're having fun and you're enjoying it, it's going to come across in the music, you know? So Ryan's got a great voice. Eli's voice is honestly probably one of the best out of our group too. So everybody has different parts and they're all trying. And it definitely seems like the more you can do harmonies on backups and stuff, the more full it sounds. But for me personally, yeah, I think writing the guitar licks, like our new song Finger Pistols, we released end of last year. That was a really fun one. I mean,
it was.
Yeah, sometimes you write those ones and it just comes quick, like I was saying. Like, I think that song, so we released two songs on that EP, and it was Altruistic, which is the music video is coming out here in the next week or so, and then Finger Pistols was kind of the better track. But Altruistic was written, and the breakdown was the progression of Finger Pistols. And when I put that in there, when I wrote it, I just felt like that was such a good guitar lick that it needed to be, or, you know, guitar part that it needed to be in its own song. So that's kind of how it happened, was it came from one song, molded into two. And then, you know, we have tons of material that's not recorded yet. And it just so happened that those two ended up on the EP together, which was kind of a weird coincidence, you know?
Yeah, it's not uncommon for that to happen. The amount of stories you hear is just like, starts off as one song and then it gets split into two songs or three songs. And it's just totally is the case. It happens a lot and usually ends up working out for the better.
You sit there
and you go, it's just like, this riff needs to be explored more.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly it, Ian. That's exactly how that happened. So,
hell yeah. And also, I wanted to ask, what are the main influences of the band? I know you mentioned Blink earlier.
Yeah, not so much Blink for me, but I'm really into, I grew up mostly in San Diego. I was born in Spokane area. We moved down there as a family, like when I wasn't 10 yet, so probably 7 or 8. So my older brother was a big person, Travis, that introduced me to music. And he was kind of friends with a lot of guys that were in some pretty big bands, and he's just 2 years older than me. So I think I was a metal kid when I was in, you know, grade school. It was all about, back then GNR was big. I'm 39, so back then it was like GNR and, you know, Megadeth and stuff. And then when I hit like middle school, I think Dookie came out from Green Day, but I got really into, really earlier on, like 10 Foot Pole is probably a band that I've listened to forever. Melancholin, No Use for a Name, No Effects, anything off that kind of surf skate snow stuff is what we're into, or at least me. That's where I think a big part of our influence comes from.
Nice. Cool. I also saw that recently you guys signed with Allegedly Records. Number one, congratulations on that.
Yeah, thanks.
That's
so much.
Pretty fucking cool. But yeah, what was the experience like? Did they reach out to you or did you reach out to them?
It was kind of, I'm trying to remember how it happened. So since I do all the marketing and stuff for the band when we were DIY, I try to get us on compilations a lot. And there's a company called Ska Box. And I think I heard about Ska Box first, I believe. And so was just applying to get our stuff on, you know, as much as we can. I mean, it's tough when you're DIY. I mean, especially when you're in the Pacific Northwest, it's a great place for music, but then it's hard to get people across the country to hear. But, you know, obviously the internet's really makes it more accessible. But so I was applying for things to try to just get us out there. We had just finished our last EP, Red. And so we got chose to be on there on Allegedly Records' new Ska Box. And then I was just kind of chatting with them a little bit and stuff. I was very interested, you know, obviously, to get us on not just any label, but it had to be a label that aligned with what we were doing. And they launched, and it was perfect. And then Red, who's their kind of talent scout, I would say, he reached out to me and just said, "Hey, I want to, you know, set up something to talk with you." And when I was on the phone with him, I was on my way home from work, had my earphones in. We set up a time to chat, and I actually sat in my driveway, and because I didn't, you know, want to cut anything off. I didn't want to walk inside where I had kids. And he and I got along really well. He plays an amazing band called Lucky 33. He's a partial owner of a studio. I think they're in Syracuse, New York. But his kind of path and his band's path aligned a lot with what we're doing. I could tell this was a good guy, a good, honest person. They have an amazing team all around. They're very active on social media. They have two gals, Amy and Bree, that are just amazing people. They're reaching out to bands a lot. They're pushing a lot. And that's what we're missing. So it kind of lined up directly with what we're looking at as where our band is at this point of time and where the label is, you know, lined up exactly. And so yeah, so we had this interview, kind of we left it at that, didn't hear anything for a week or so, and then we got you know, the offer to sign with them, and they sent over a contract, and we reviewed it, and it looked just exactly what we were needed. So yeah, yes. we're really excited. We've never been on a label before. You know, we have a lot of hopes that this helps to get our name out there more into more kids, you know, phones to listen to our music. We push music videos pretty hard, so hopefully it gives us a wider audience for that, and then hopefully we can add some, you know, bring some stuff back to the label as well so that they stay happy.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. And you were mentioning the EP Red that's coming, that you guys got coming out. What can we expect from that? Like a short EP, a little bit medium size?
Yeah, and, so that, Red was released actually the end of last year. That's what Finger Pistols and Altruistic were on. We're doing a new one that we're recording this spring. So we haven't chose, Ian, which songs will be on it yet. I can tell you that it'll probably be in the typical Bored with Fire recipe, which is 2 to 3 songs. We try to release every 6 months. With the current availability of how easy it is to stream songs, I kind of am trying to follow what bands I like and what I'm seeing them do. And to be honest, a lot of it is talking with the studio that we record at, because we're really fortunate to record at Amplified Wax, because the owner of it and the guy that does all your stuff, he plays in a very successful band here in Spokane called Everyone Loves a Villain. So I trust what he says a lot. Like, he's the kind of guy that always tries to put us in the right kind of lane. And so we're doing, as of right now, probably going to do another 2 to 3 songs. We're writing like mad right now. We've got a huge bank of songs that we haven't even played live yet, just because there's no shows. So so yeah, I can't tell you exactly which songs are going to be on there yet, but if the one I think is going to make it on there, I think it's our best piece of work so far. Like, nice. Yeah. And so we'll see. There's every storm runs out of rain. We'll probably be on there. Don't quote me on that. And then there's a song called Macaronius and Cheese that's really funny. That it's kind of a humor song. So I hope that one makes it on there. But It's never just up to me. There's four guys in the band, and everything we do is come down to an equal decision. To be honest, on the last EP, Red, we kind of let everybody go home after a practice and like, hey, here's the five that are on the chopping block. We're going to take two. And everybody kind of puts theirs in. And all three of the other guys voted for Altruistic and Finger Pistols. And I actually picked Finger Pistols and Every Storm Runs Out of Rain, but I lost. So I'm hoping that makes it on there next time. but I think that they made the right decision because how those two came out, I think were the best pair. So maybe I'm not always right is the moral of that story.
Definitely. I definitely enjoyed listening to Finger Pistols.
Yeah, that was a good song.
That was a nice just constant of good 3 minutes, just constant good riffage.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Very nice. And also the music videos. Are those locally filmed in Spokane?
Yeah, the Spokane area? You wouldn't think it by the quality. No offense to Spokane, but so it's actually he's a friend of a friend that I met, and we've known each other. His name's Andrew. We've known each other for several years now, and he's just insane with this stuff. And so he reached out to me and just said, hey, I haven't done music videos. It's part of my business I want to tap into. Let's do one. And so we did one a little over a year ago, or about a year ago, and we almost had as much fun doing the music videos than we did actually recording the music, to be honest. So it's really cool because he listens to our music a lot. I mean, he comes to shows and stuff. He actually likes our stuff, which helps. But I send him lyrics. We usually have a meeting. We talk over what the song was loosely based on. And then he just goes. Like, literally, what you see in that is just his interpretation of the story. So it kind of brings another art medium to the program, but that's not all Bored with Fire. I mean, we definitely have our, we chip in, we bring some stuff to the table, but it's Andrew that actually does all that. And so we've just built a crazy relationship with him, and he pretty much knows if we go in the studio, we're going to be doing a video right after that. So he's already working on it and writing, and he's got an amazing team with Connor and Drew, and those guys not only act but they actually write and then they film. So he's got an amazing team that we're very happy to be a part of it, and I think it brings a really high quality visual interpretation to to any fan or anybody that likes to listen to our stuff.
Fuck yeah, that's very nice. Now, are these music videos and before you signed with Allegedly studio time, was all that self-produced, or did you guys have like a designated producer already?
Well, for the music, when we go into the studio, we usually just play it for the studio and for Jimmy at Amplified, and then he acts as our producer and helps us step in and kind of from an outside perspective kind of lets us know like, hey, maybe we need to add something here, or maybe we need to take something out or move it. But no, for the beginning, that was just all us. And then now we actually have some real help in that department to kind of try to take us to the next level.
Nice. And something I was wondering, how have you guys been coping with the pandemic? How has that affected any of the studio time, or how often you guys can get together to rehearse?
Yeah, so like when the pandemic first hit, it really kind of hit us blindside. We had just started kind of really getting some momentum going, playing shows with, like Maticus's band, Those Damn Kids. We played, fairly regularly with them. And there was another band in town called the Pink Sox that we kind of look up to. They're further along than us. We love their music. Great group of guys. And they were doing like a 5-day tour out to the coast, so like Seattle, Portland area, and then back. And there was a venue we'd been trying to play a lot called the Big Dipper, and they kind of got us in there, and we were going to be the last band before they came on for the final show of their tour, which was going to be hopefully a sold-out show, which would be great for us. And And then COVID happened and wiped everything down. So I think we had, I don't know how many shows we had. It was quite a while ago, but we had everything canceled. We had some, like a little mini tour we were putting together at that time, getting ready to start organizing, and that was gone. There was a music festival, though, in August that was taking place in Coeur d'Alene, right on the water, and we headlined that outdoor music festival. They still had it, just nice. With, you know, huge precautions. Everybody was spaced out. It definitely was not everything it could be because of the pandemic, but I'm glad that they at least had it go. And that was a really much needed something for us because it's hard if you don't have something on the schedule, either going into a studio and recording or, you know, hopefully just a show, it you start to feel kind of stagnant and kind mm-hmm. of you just go to practice and just play the same 20 songs over and over or write something new, but there's nothing to push you. And we like to always have something on the calendar that's pushing us to kind of keep you going, keep your, you know, eye on the prize, keep you just with your head down. And so, yeah, it's been tough. You know, I've heard of some things happening like house parties. We've been asked to play a few things. I just don't think that's right for us right now personally. So we still practice once a week. We're just very safe about it. Everybody in the band basically either works remote or if they do go to the office, you know, no one's out doing anything. So we've canceled a couple practices because of, you know, maybe someone knew somebody close to them got sick. And then it was like, well, let's just stop, see what happens. And, you know, I've had to get tested a few times, just not for my own interactions, but just having a kid, someone at their daycare gets sick and then everybody freaks out and you're on quarantine hardcore. So no, yeah. we're all just quarantining at home still like everybody else, trying to just go to the store, go to work and that's it. But we still do practice, but it's just, yeah, we're pretty distanced when we do, so.
Nice. Something I was wanting to ask, what out of the music videos you guys have put out, because I've seen, like, on YouTube, two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them seem really fun, but what would you say was the most fun to film?
That's a good question. Probably the most fun for me was Indiana Harbor. We took like 2.5 days to film that, and it was like over like a 3-day stretch. That's kind of like a feel-good story. Most of the stuff that I write is pretty dark, so that was like a feel-good kind of like reminded me when I was in high school type song of, you know, the you know, it's kind of about the guy whose best friend is a girl, but she likes the douchebag, and he's like, hey, you know, what about here? So I like that story. That was really fun because we had the motorcycle with the sidecar. So we got a lot of cool film shots where, like, the guy was filming in the back of a truck going down a road with this 18-year-old kid that couldn't even really ride a motorcycle very well. And the actors in those were, those aren't like real actors. They're like friends of family. Actually, the main character is our guitarist Ryan's, it's his like 18-year-old son. So that was a fun one. They're all different. I'm really excited for you to see the brand new one, Altruistic, that's coming out, because it's by far the craziest. And I wish it was out already so we can talk about it, but it's completed, it's done. It was sent to our label on Thursday, so 2 days ago, and they're just reviewing it and they're coming up with the launch campaign. So hopefully in the next week or so, we'll release it. But that one was hard because the band are the actors in it. We're wearing masks, which you'll see, like full blown masks, and you'll understand why when it comes out. But but that one was like, when I got done, I called Andrew and I was like, we might need to cancel this, dude. This had to have been horrible because we're not actors and we don't like acting, but when he sent me the final cut, I was blown away. So they're all different because they all have different stories and different feels. But I think Altruistic will end up, in my opinion, being the best so far.
Fuck yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, definitely. Before all the shows got stopped from happening, in Washington and wherever else you guys played at, because I don't know if you've been on a tour yet,
No, we haven't. Just Idaho and Washington.
What was your favorite bands to be playing with?
So favorite bands to play with, obviously Those Damn Kids. We play with them a lot. We have a huge relationship with them. They are wild on stage. If you haven't seen them live, they're kind of a gonzo band. So they're just nuts. I mean, it's a performance. So
yeah,
that's definitely one band that whenever we play with, we try to always, no matter if we're the first band or we're the headliner, we always try to watch everybody else's, you know, out of respect and because we just love live music. But Those Damn Kids are always number one on our list. We played with a band called Skunktopus in Idaho in a small like rock bar, and it was like a back room. There was no stage, but they just cram as many people in there as possible. You can smoke in the bar still there, which kind of sucked for us because we don't smoke, which that's fine, but you're just in a cloud of smoke. But that was a pretty cool show. So those two bands are ones that we like to play with a lot. 3113, we play with them a couple times. I think they're good. There's some other definitely really good bands in the Spokane area that we're hoping and we've been building relationships with, like Bad Motivator. There's a ton of, obviously, the Pink Sox, like I've talked about. Everyone Loves a Villain. Free the Jester. I mean, there's a huge music scene here. So there's a ton of bands that we've played with that we enjoy, and also a lot of others that we're hoping for opportunities in the future.
Very nice. And as you were saying about Madagascus, yes, those boys are crazy. Yeah, I grew up with Madagascus.
Oh, you did?
So
okay.
I saw all this craziness form.
Yeah. All right. So you're familiar with his, yes, his motif. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Awesome answers. And so I love finding out about more of the music scenes in the different towns, because I'm in one area and I love to hear about what's happening in all the different areas and where the music hubs are at. So it's very nice to know how big of a music hub Spokane it really is.
Yeah, there's a lot of good bands here.
Yeah. So what do you guys have like planned out to have happen for 2021? Do you guys have
it? Yeah, we do. We have a schedule right now, a tentative schedule for the next like 5 months for releases. We're going into a different studio in 2 weeks that Ed Graves owns here in Coeur d'Alene. We've never recorded anything with him before, but we're going to actually do a song acoustically. And so we've never done an acoustic song. So if it turns out good, we'll release it. If not, we won't. But I'm pretty confident. We have two right now that we're deciding between. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to go into Ed Graves' studio in a couple weeks where we'll record an acoustic song. We'll release that when it's mastered. And then we're going to be going back into Amplified Wax and recording a 2-3 song EP. And then while that's being mixed and mastered, we're going to go back into the other studio and do another acoustic. So we'll hopefully have two acoustic songs and 2-3 full recordings out in the next 3 months. And then we'll do two new music videos. And then when we were in the studio in Amplified last, when we recorded Red, the film crew came in and actually filmed for a day. So we have all this unreleased footage that from our last EP that right before we release the next EP, we're going to release like a behind the scenes for our last one. So,
yeah.
So I'm really excited to see that. We still have to film for that is like a band interview, kind of going over that whole process. But what we're trying to show is for people that don't play music or people that play music, but they don't record, kind of let them see what happens in the studio, how your music will evolve and how you as artists actually evolve. Like I've recorded a lot over the last 20 years, you know, at least, I don't know, 10 or 15 times in studios, whether it be for a 5 song, like I did when I was young or with 12 North and stuff, or with DT United or with Bore of Fire. But for me, studio time is very stressful. Like it's really fun. Like I love it, but it's challenging because you want to push yourself to the best of your ability. And so it to me, an 8 or 10 hour day in the studio, even if I only am playing for maybe a couple, an hour here, and then, Eli steps out and does bass, and then Jared drums, and then back in, mentally, it's very, you get fatigued. So I'm hoping that comes across in the little short film that it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of just putting yourself out there, but it's just the most fun. It's like Disneyland for an adult, because it's what you love. But so hopefully that gives kind of an inside look at how our process goes.
Very nice. That's also another thing I'm looking forward to, because I love seeing those in the studios kind of documentary type shit. Right. I loved it when Avenged Sevenfold, when they did that for the White Album.
Oh, okay.
I very much enjoyed seeing that.
I don't think I didn't see that, so I'll have to look that up tonight.
Yeah, you could definitely find it on YouTube. They recorded the entire recording process of every single song from the White Album.
Wow.
This is very nice to see. But yeah, this is kind of like a two-part question right here. So part one, where is dream place for you guys to play at? And part two is, who would you want to be playing with?
Okay. Well, that's an amazing question. So for me, that's really easy. And it's definitely for Bored With Fire to play at Soma Live in San Diego. And so Soma Live is a venue in San Diego that I went to as a kid a ton. I saw all my favorite bands. They have two stages, the side stage and then the main stage. And the main stage holds 1,500 or 1,600 people. But that's definitely a place that's, I hold near to my heart. They have moved locations. For the original one burnt down, I believe, and then they off Metro, and then they moved to a new location. And I have been to that one, as long as that's the same. It's been several years for me since I've been there. But that's a place where if you're into skate punk and you live anywhere in the bottom half of that state, you probably have heard of that. Bands Aquabats. I mean, every big band play there. I mean, so I would definitely say that's the venue. And I would probably want to open up for Melancholin. I think that's probably the number one band that I would always have wanted to open for. My wife and I, when we first got married and we were living up here, we even flew down a couple of times because they're from Orebro, Sweden. And so when they do come to America, which is not very often, my wife and I flew down and saw them a couple of days in a row. And they put on an amazing show. They usually play in San Diego. They'll play San Diego, then two locations in LA the next two nights. So I've done it twice where I watch them two or three days in a row. And they put on an amazing performance, and that was probably my number one band in high school was Melancholin. So I think that would be pretty amazing to play with them.
Very nice. Cool. Another good question is, I was thinking about, for any musicians who aren't in bands listening, what would you say is the best, and don't want to say worst, but let's just say least best part of being in a band?
So the best would definitely be you pushing your own ability. If everybody is pushing to be better, if each person's, pushing their instrument further, you'll get better because you want to keep pushing them. You know what I mean? That you want to keep bringing something new to the table, something fresh. The worst thing would probably be if someone isn't pushing as hard. I guess that's kind of the main thing is having to deal with someone that's kind of stagnant or maybe not working as hard as the rest of the band. I think that can sometimes cause some issues where everybody else kind of feels like, hey, I'm going home, I'm doing all this in the extra time, I'm bringing this to the table. And then if someone shows up and isn't prepared or doesn't seem to really care as much, I think that can hurt. But I mean, I think no matter what, pushing your own craft further is the best. And being able to play live music with people. I mean, that's the thing is we literally put on a show every Thursday night from 7 to 9 in the basement where we rehearse. I mean, it's a full blown. So that's I highly recommend it. I mean, you only live once, so why not try? That's the way I think about it.
Hell yeah. For you, when you're going into the studio or at practice, what's the one piece of equipment where you just sit there, if you don't have it, you go, we're not starting until I go back and grab this. I need this.
Well, originally I'd probably say guitar, because even though we have a couple extras there, that's pretty key. But we just, as a band, invested in a new in-ear monitoring system. So when we play at practice now, everything just goes straight into our ears. And we'd wanted to invest in one of those for a while. So when we practice and rehearse, it sounds like we're in a studio, because otherwise it's just too much noise in a closed spot. And you really can't work on harmonizing or vocals, because you're not even singing at that point. You're just screaming to try to hear it through the PA, because you're playing with a live drum set. But our drummer has also an electric set, a pretty decent one. And then we run everything into our Mackie soundboard, and then it goes direct into our ears. So we even plug amps, like our half stacks. We just use the heads now, and they go direct into the soundboard, and then through our, through our pedals on our pedal board creates the sound we want. And then it goes straight into wireless ear set. So now I'd probably say that, because after about a month and a half of using that system, we practiced last Thursday, and we were making some changes on the board. So we actually played with everything at full volume again. And at the end of that, I was like, all right, now I have a constant buzzing in my ears from the noise. And so now I'd probably say our in-ear monitoring system is a must. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, those things, they come in handy, man.
Yeah.
They really do.
I agree.
Makes it so much easier to hear yourself, but still be able to hear later.
Exactly. Yeah. It's definitely want to keep your ears as long as you can. So.
Definitely. What is one of the, something that you're like really looking forward to in the future with the band?
100%. It shows to open up. I mean, that's what it's been a year. Totally understand why we're not allowed to have them, and I'm in agreement with it, but 100%. We just want to play shows again. Like I said, we got to play that one in August, the Unsigned Artist Fest in Coeur d'Alene. And that was a breath of fresh air after like 6 months without a show. But I miss shows that are in dark, hot, sweaty, crowds, and people are able to run around and get their energy out. So I'm hoping that when all this opens up again and that everything's safe and everybody feels safe, I'm hoping them, and I anticipate the music scene in our area is just going to go absolutely bonkers. And I'm hoping we can play at least once a week for 6 months just to get it out of our system again and show everybody what we've been working on. I mean, that's the hardest part is, the stuff that we have on Spotify and iTunes, all of our 3 EPs we released it. I think there's like 7 or 8 songs we have out there. And they're great songs. I love them. But we have at least another 7 or 8 that I think blow those out of the water. And they're just sitting in our head or at our rehearsals that we want to get out there and have the people see if, what they really think about it.
Yeah. Just that's like, there's the one common theme that I've gotten from all my musician friends that I've talked to is everyone is missing that hot, sweaty, dank stage.
Yeah, and I can't wait to be in there and watch my friends' bands just as much as I want to play. Like, there's just amazing bands here, Nixon Rodeo and stuff, and they're a band that is probably one of the top on our list that we want to open for. I mean, they play the Knitting Factory here, which is our biggest venue, and they, it's shoulder to shoulder every time they play, and I want to be back in the crowd right up there getting pushed around and watching them again. So
just missing the pit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, man. So a question that I've been starting to ask every one of my guests now is top 5 most influential albums to you.
Okay. Life on a Plate, Mel and Colin. Punk and Drublic, No Effects. Probably what was probably Rev by 10 Foot Pole, the Black Album by Unwritten Law, and Rod Stewart's Classics. Right there. That's the five.
Nice, dude. Very nice. Well, do you have anything you've been wanting to plug, like promote?
No, mostly just huge thanks to Allegedly Records for, you know, for going out on a limb and signing an unknown band from North Idaho or Spokane area, wherever we're really from. But we're really excited to see what that happens with that. I mean, that's a brand new chapter. We're like literally a weekend after that happened. So definitely excited to be on board with them. They've got a crazy amount of good bands on their label, and we're hoping to get to know them. We'd love to fly to New York. We've had a little bit of chat with the label about maybe when things open up. It's kind of a bucket list thing for us, but we're hoping to get all the bands and hopefully their families on a plane sometime in 21 or 22 and fly to Syracuse and maybe try to go in and record, you know, in their studio. They own a studio, so it'd be fun to record with the label. It'd be fun to line up some shows out on the East Coast. And I've never even been to that area, so it'd be great just to kind of do like a vacation with a purpose, if you will. But yeah, other than that, I just hope that everybody keeps pushing. There's a lot of bands out there that I know of that since COVID have kind of just taken a break. And so I'm hoping that when things start to open up and bands can start to see that maybe on the future, if the vaccines work or whatever that, you know, ends up happening, that maybe if things start to open up, that a lot of bands will release a lot of new stuff. You know, MXPX and Goldfinger, they're all doing, those are some bands that I like to follow, and they're doing like the live stream stuff. And that's, I don't know, it doesn't really sound great to me to go do that yet. We've been offered to do that a couple times, but we just kind of keep holding out and hoping that shows will open up soon enough. So that's it. I mean, everybody just